and D.O. Lock the doors, bar the windows. I think about one thing this week though. Mario Bros 1 through 3 and Tetris and Metroid I destroyed. I'm the best boy, bigger than your chest boy. Next up, Legend of Zelda. Then hit it up with a little bit of double dribble. 2 points, 3 points, 2 buttons. Don't touch it, I'm rough with it. Switch from B to A to A to B with the speed, don't play with me. Digits are blistered again. Soak them in vinegar and liniment to begin again. Sensei of Ninja Gaiden, I've been playing it since 10. Kung Fu Guru, 8-bit Mega Man. Malevolent man and competitor, I'm a veteran at it. If you know better than that, then sit down, go practice. Thanks, Mom, aren't you glad to know that your son's the bomb? It's something, it's better than nothing. At least it ain't dragons and dungeons.
I got Nintendo thumb, thank God my thumb's so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down, son, I got Nintendo thumb, thank God my thumb's so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down.
Master D, 8-bit masterpiece. When I was a little kid, I was bound to be a digital athlete. It came naturally, I didn't ask to be gifted. When I'm kicking it with Kid Icarus, I'm victorious, or I won't play it all. Won't take a loss, I won't push pause, I'll turn the game off. RBI or Tecmo Bowl or bases loaded, it's game over. Never gonna be intimidated, innovative is my middle name. A legitimate claim, I'm bringing the pain. Call me Top Gun, I hunt ducks with a shotgun. Not a pistol, you're pitiful. I'm RoboCop, that's literal. Girlies whistle, cause I'm fitted to fiddle. Nerdy and burly and surely they don't deserve me if they can't come in first place. On Excite Bike, I'm the type of guy who can cover my eyes and beat you by a couple of miles. And you're struggling a while, I'm chuckling loud, chuckling loud. Can't you see, you ain't got a chance with me. I'm a pro, you're amateur, see, mark my words. Thinking you can handle me, you'll be your final fantasy.
I got Nintendo thumb, thank God my thumb's so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down, son, I got Nintendo thumb, thank God my thumb's so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down.
Contra, Castlevania, DuckTales, WrestleMania, California game, Shinobi, get a power pad, you still can't hold me. Who's dumber than this? Whose thumb's number than this? Who's the next chump on the list? Thinking they've eaten of a lifetime, one that they're not gonna forget. Get your thumbs up, 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 get your thumbs up.
I got Nintendo thumb, thank God my thumb's so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down, son, I got Nintendo thumb, dang on my thumb so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down, I got Nintendo thumb, dang on my thumb so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down, son, I got Nintendo thumb, dang on my thumb so numb. This controller is controlling me, it makes me feel so dumb. Why don't you come get some? I know that you don't want none. If you did, you get it, cause I give it to you. Sit down.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
Back here on the edge, that last one was Nintendo Thumb by Heath McNeice. And you know what? I didn't plan that, but I thought, man, that is a fantastic entrance into nerd news. Now I'm going to talk about the topics that we're going to be talking about, then we'll go in depth. So, Star Trek 4, maybe in holding pattern. Nintendo enters the world of paid online services. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beta concludes its second private beta week. And the Brady Bunch house has been bought. We'll find out who in 1 second. Up first, Star Trek 4. So Star Trek 4 may lose its two Chrises, Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth. So apparently these guys have not actually signed. They're still in talks with Pine and Hemsworth, but they've fallen through over salary issues. The report indicates that Pine and Hemsworth want Paramount to honor their previously made deals while the studio is attempting to hold the line on a budget. Essentially, the actors feel that they would be forced to accept pay cuts under the terms that they were offered, while the studio contends that the franchise can't afford to pay them on par with their respective DC and Marvel films. It's a fair point that Star Trek Beyond lost money, but the entire point of this upcoming film was to unite the Kirks for the first time, and it simply won't have the same resonance if two other actors step in for Pine and Hemsworth. Now, the studio doesn't appear to be willing to scrap the movie over their potential departures, and the deals with Zoe Saldana, Zachary Quinto, Carl Urban, Simon Pegg, and John Cho are expected to close, in quotation figures. It would be very odd to continue the reboot series with a new Captain Kirk, but not impossible. There is also the possibility that Pine and Hemsworth will return to the negotiating table if circumstances change. So, this is all reported by SuperheroHype.com, so, man, it sounds like, like I said, the Star Trek 4 movie might be in holding pattern until they can figure out what's going on. But this, it did say that they're not above, I guess, recasting those actors. What's your thoughts on them, Mike?
Yeah, what I want to say is, if it goes under, it's not the two Chris's fault. In this line of work, being an actor, you got to get paid what you're worth. Because if you let one film say, well, look, we can't afford you, and we still want to cast you, we need to take a pay cut, they're all going to say that. And then you'll never get what you're worth. Hold strong. If they want you, they'll pay you. If not, you'll find another movie that'll pay you.
And look, honestly, these guys aren't hurting. You've got both of them in the DC and Marvel films, respectively. You also have Hemsworth doing an offshoot of the Men in Black series. I'm sure that Chris Pine's got some other movies in the works, so it's not like these guys are hurting for jobs. I mean, I think that they were doing the Star Trek stuff as a labor of love, but like you said, man, you can only be walked all over so many times before you just hang up the towel.
Right, I mean, it's a pool full of sharks, man, and if they smell blood in the water, you're going to get shortchanged every single job you take from then on.
Absolutely.
So I say, all new ground, if they want to recast, let them recast. But you got to get paid what you're worth.
That's right. Our next segment. So Nintendo famously has, I feel like they've always catered to the family. I feel like they've always catered to those people that the other two big console manufacturers have sort of, it's not really been their target market. Now, the Nintendo Switch has taken the world by storm. It is one of the fastest-selling Nintendo consoles of all time. I think it actually even outsold the previously held championship, which would be the Nintendo Wii. That was huge. It was on fire. The Switch has taken over. Now, the Switch has got so many different features, but one of them we'll talk about is its ability to go online, whereas the other ones had that as well, but they had a really... a tricky platform. Nintendo Switch has actually brought all of that into the to mainstream, mainline, and now Nintendo has announced, they announced it when it first came out, that they're going to have an online service and it will be paid. So, but the details up until now have been really scant. They've just had a, what they call Nintendo Treehouse, which they announce all their stuff, and looks like the second half of September, Nintendo Switch's online service will go live. And the coolest bit about this, dude, is like, okay, over here in Australia, I pay $79.95 for 12 months of PlayStation Network, I guess, membership, right?
Yeah, that's a great deal.
That's $79.95 for a year, sorry. That sounds good, right? It's not, because like I think you guys probably would pay a lot less than that.
Well, yeah, but I mean as conversion rates go, wouldn't it be essentially, okay, I'm confusing myself, keep going.
Yeah, because look, we've got GST and all that sort of stuff to deal with, which is our general services tax. So let's say if it's $79.95, it's probably, I would say for you guys, $49.95, something like that, because of the conversion rate and GST and all that sort of technical stuff. So Australia ends up always sort of paying more for everything. If a new iPhone comes out and it's retailing at $199, you can guarantee we're paying $500. That's just sort of the way it works, and I'm not sure of all the reasons. It could be the shipping and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so that's another side of the story. Well, what's cool about this Nintendo thing is that even for Australians, I believe, it's going to be like $24-25 for a year, which is way cheaper.
Nice.
And I think that there's also going to be in this, it's not just going to be, okay, you can go online and play with your friends. There's going to be a selection of online-enabled NES games, cloud save backups, and more connectivity with the Nintendo Switch smartphone app, which they put that out. Hasn't really been getting fantastic reviews, but, you know, obviously it's just a placeholder for the real thing. It says the Nintendo Switch mobile app will continue to be used to enhance the online experience for compatible games through voice chat and other features. So hopefully Nintendo is investing some more person hours into improving that finicky chat system. This comes from Newsweek, and it was actually. So there you go. Nintendo is now officially into the online paid subscribing club, but I think they're doing it a really good deal.
Yeah, but still, that's, I mean, when are these guys going to start operating like Steam? I mean, or a service where, say you pay, and this would be totally worth it, say you pay $20 a month, and the whole library is open. You can play any game you want from cloud.
I don't think that the rest of the world's infrastructure is ready for that. See, they've been talking about going diskless for some time. I don't think we're going to hit that anytime soon, really.
Yeah, they can still sell disc, but I mean, you know, if you wanted to play, I don't know, you got all three of them, don't you?
Negative. I used to have the Xbox, but I don't have it any longer. But I'm familiar with how they all play, yes.
But say, you know, you're on your PlayStation, you're like, man, I want to play Tekken 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you're paying like $20 a month. You just go on the cloud service. You start searching Tekken. Right about the time you put in TE, there it is. You click it, and then now you're playing it.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Would that be sweet?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that would work, especially over here with internet and stuff like that. But I think that they think all of those things through before they put it out. So,
yeah.
I guess watch this space to see how it goes. Like I said, mid-September, second half of September, rather, it's going to go into effect, and we'll be able to tell you more. Now, staying on the same line of video games, so I participated in the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beta for the PS4. Now, PS4 owners have been lucky because we have had 2 weeks of the private beta, whereas the other platforms do not, because this is a timed exclusive for the PlayStation 4. It doesn't mean it's not going to come out on the same day. It's just that PS4 is their preferred platform, and therefore those players are going to get a little extra something.
So what do? You play the game and then you fill out like a survey or something?
Well, sometimes I do send out surveys, but this one was sort of engineered in a different way. So this is probably, so this is the first Call of Duty, I'll start by saying this, that does not have a single player campaign attached to it. It's all multiplayer, and that consists of your team deathmatch, as well as your zombies, and then there's lots of capture maps, and there's a new mode called Heist, in which you have to go and take down the other team and bring the money to a certain location. That one made me very angry, and I will not be playing that mode when the full game comes out.
Did you rage quit?
No, I didn't. But I might have said some words. That's all I'm gonna say. But look, overall, I enjoyed the beta. I thought it was really good. It's definitely a different take on the Call of Duty franchise. A lot of people were upset with the different mechanics, but see, these betas are actually the time when the developers can see how people are reacting, and they can then change things or not change things based upon the people's reaction. So yeah, it was very, very good. Now, I'll say this. This is really cool about this situation. So if you played the beta, depending on, if you played the beta, and this isn't locked to one particular platform or not, you get a what's called an in-game calling card, a special one for those who participated in the beta. And then if you reached the level cap, which for this one was level 40, and it was a grind to get there, thank goodness for those double XP weekends, you then get an unlock token for any of the weapons in the game once you get to the stage where you can do a creative class. So pretty fantastic stuff. Now the game launches, I think it's in October. I had this down early. I think it's like, I don't know if it's the 26th. Ooh, I'll look that up for you. So the game is going to launch October 12th, it looks like. And I think that's worldwide. Yeah, so Friday, October 12th, here in Australia. I believe it's worldwide, but you know, you just can never tell with these things. And it will be, I'm guessing, rated R18. I'm not seeing, just because of the violence, just because of the nature of war. So I don't guess you're going to be letting your children play. I mean, I won't be letting mine play either. I'll be playing. But you're probably not going to pick this up either, are you?
Oh, no. No. And to be honest with you, if it's not Madden, I'm usually not playing it. So maybe I'll have to watch a playthrough or something on YouTube to see how it is.
Speaking of Madden, they just dropped Madden 19. Have you played that yet?
No, I have not. I usually hold on to a Madden for at least 2 to 3 years, and then I'll get a new one. So I'm on my second year of the current Madden that I have. So I got about one more year of life in that bad boy before I go get me a new one.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. I'm the same way. I'll wait, like with my, because I play FIFA, I play soccer.
Yeah.
And I'll wait until this current one. So like, I've just picked up 2018, when 2019 is like a couple months away. See, because these games, they're very, very expensive if you buy them at the height of when they come out. So basically, Madden is engineered to come out just before the football season starts. And so it's valuable there. But they depreciate very quickly because, as you know, there's a season of football, there's a season of soccer. And as that season ends, so does the interest in it. And so you got to strike while the iron's hot. And it's just like my mom used to do. You know, you go shopping for all of your winter clothes in the summer when they're on special and vice versa. So just be a budget shopper. Be like me. So what about you, man? Like, so you said you've got Madden, what, 17 you're playing on?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to imagine who is on the cover. I don't really look at the cover that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of the newer ones. I don't think it is 18.
Yep.
But I could be wrong, to be honest with you, because I don't really play it that much. I probably squeeze in about 1 to 2 plays a month.
I refuse to buy Madden 18 because that imposter's on the cover.
Who is it?
Not a Brady fan at all.
Oh, Tom Brady? I wonder if that's what I got. TB12, maybe?
That was 18. So, if you've got that. So, there was the GOAT edition, which I completely disagree with that anyway. If you know me, you know I don't like Tom Brady and his deflating football self.
6 rings, baby.
How many of those are from Dirty Money? You answer me that. The Bill Belichick Mafia. That's what I'm saying. The Belichick Mafia.
Can't be proven.
Moving on.
Or is it just hearsay?
What's that?
Can it be proven or is it just hearsay?
Oh, man. Court proceedings, everything about Deflategate.
Objection!
They had, I'll tell you, the MVP for the Patriots every year has been the ref, and that's all I'll say on that. All right, moving on. This is the last piece of nerd news. We have suffered many technical setbacks tonight, but we are still trying to get this through. But
that's what we do.
Up next, so the Brady Bunch house, it went on the market, and there was a lot of people fighting for it. Now, I reported earlier that somebody bought it, but they didn't. So basically, when I read it, I read that the winner of the bid was none other than NSYNC's member, Lance Bass. So I thought Lance Bass had it. Turns out that Home and Garden TV came in behind everything and purchased it at a higher price than what they were asking for. And they're going to turn it into, I guess, one of those remodeled TV shows. They're going to have it for that. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I sure did. If you're Lance Bass, you got to let these people know, look, I don't care if you get, you know, an offer that's higher than mine. You let me know, and I will beat it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, dude, it closed Friday at $3.5 million, or $1.6 million more than the listing price of $1.885 million. The home was used for the exterior shots of the television show with the interior shot on a soundstage. So basically, you're paying for the nostalgia of the outside of the house. But yeah, it says the home received 8 offers, according to the report, including singer Lance Bass, who thought he had submitted the winning bid, but was blown away when Home Garden TV came in like a snake around the corner, I'm putting that in, allegedly offered to top any bids. So, who knows what HGTV is going to do with it? I imagine it's going to be one of those renovation shows. But if you're Lance Bass, you know, you got to be saying, like, you know, quit playing games with my heart. You know?
Yeah, you got to pounce on this snake like Ricky Tiggy Tabby.
Mm.
And go to work. Show them the dollars. What are you doing, Lance Bass?
I don't think it was his issue. I think he thought he had it. It's sort of like when I was a kid, I used to do Elvis impersonations and like lip sync to Elvis songs, right? So my mom introduced me into
Elvis impersonation right now.
No. I lip sync, man. I didn't actually do it.
A little Kentucky rain right now.
No, you can't. So the story goes that it was my hometown county fair in Grass Valley, and my mom entered me into the contest, the talent contest, right? So, man, you should have seen me. I had, like, a fake microphone made up on a stand, like one of the old-timey ones, and, man, I had the Elvis hair going. I even had penny loafers, which my grandma got for me at a thrift shop. I was little Elvis, okay? And I get up, I do my thing, people going crazy. I did Little Sister by Elvis Presley. And I'm sitting in the crowd and I'm waiting for them to announce. And then, this is the saddest thing in the world. I relive this so many times. I'm sitting in the crowd and they start announcing one of the prizes in my age group. And they say, Josh. And I get up and I run to the stage, arms above my head, and then I hear the last name is not mine. It's some kid playing a piano.
Oh, no.
So basically,
you went Derek Zoolander on it.
Absolutely, man. So Lance Bass, I feel you, buddy. I feel you. I know what it feels like to have a stolen victory. I'm looking at you, Josh, piano guy.
Did you have the bedazzled suit with the eagle on the back?
No, I couldn't afford that. Like, I think I was like, I was definitely poor man's Elvis Presley, but man, I put everything
you
into
Macklemore
it.
On it.
What's that?
You went Macklemore on it?
I guess if you're talking about the thrift shop, yeah, we did what we had to do with what we had, and.
Now, were you singing or you were lip syncing?
Oh, lip syncing, yeah. Lip syncing. It was a fake microphone.
Went Milli Vanilli on it.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be that way. But you know what? After that thing, I got asked to do a couple of different weddings from family, of course. But
no. Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. Like, it was a pretty popular thing amongst the family. Like, you know, family get together and, you know, you always have that one person who does that one thing. Well, mine was that, hey, let's put on an Elvis song and get Josh to make a fool of himself. So, I can't believe we just talked about that on the radio. What's that?
So you were getting, I'm just throwing out all these names and it keeps coming to me. And I was like, you were getting booked at parties like William Hung.
Dude, but I wasn't getting paid. Like, maybe I got paid like, like Punch or something. I don't know. But,
some
cake. Can't believe I actually just put that out on the radio. By the way, I've retired from that, so there are going to be no requests for that. And there may or may not be some video out there. And if my mom is listening, you hide that.
Dude, I would love to see you do Jailhouse Rock.
Not happening.
And you know what? We got a award-winning Elvis impersonator coming down. His name's Ryan Pelton. You ever seen any of his stuff?
No. Is he one of the ones that resides out of Vegas? Don't they all anyway?
I don't know. This guy like tours the nation, but supposedly he's won all these awards. He looks like Elvis, and he dang near sounds like him. He's pretty good.
No, I'll have to have a look at him. But yeah, so that's my crazy story. And you know, Lance Bass, I feel for you. Home Garden TV came up, like Josh, who played the piano and stole your victory. There will be redemption, my friend. There will be redemption. Moving on. So we've got music releases to talk about. And I don't know if you have your outline pulled up there, Mike. So we'll just sort of trade off.
Well, no, I did, since I had to move my talking position to my ear...
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
...cut down some feedback, I no longer have it in front of
me. All right, so I'll run through it. So we've got alternative rock. We've got Ledger, which is Jen Ledger from Skillet. She's got Not Dead Yet, the rock mix. We've got Switchfoot. You Found Me, and we'll talk about that a bit later. And 21 Pilots, we've got Levitate, which is a single, which is all adding up to their album that's coming out relatively soon called Trench. Contemporary pop, Building 429, still trying to be relevant with 1,000 Promises. We've got Casting Crowns got a new single called Only Jesus. Haven't listened to that one yet. Moving on to folk singer and songwriter. And we've got, now we're going to move on to hard rock and metal. We got Fit for a King, When Everything Means Nothing, it's a single. Hip hop and rap. Derek Minor, The Trap. We've got somebody called Jay Fish, P-H-I-S-H, and Corey Wise with Get Some. Planet Boom, which is an offshoot of the Planet Shakers. It's their youth sort of group called Lemme Tell Ya. L-E-M-M-E-T-E-L-L-Y-A. Lemme Tell Ya. If you didn't get that the first time. Praise and Worship. Bethel Music still coming out strong with their Praise and Worship game, Stand in Your Love. And I think that's all we're going to mention for today. So if you want to see the full complete list, as always, we direct you to www.indievisionmusic.com. You can look for their releases. This is from the week of August the 10th. And that's all I've got to say about that. So up next... Up next, we've got Gen X Radio. So stick around for that. Thanks for listening to the technically difficulty-laden The Edge with Mike and Josh, episode 10, here on Hope FM 103.9. That's right, back here on The Edge, Gen X Radio time. Now I'm going to run through the stories that we're going to talk about and then we'll go in depth with them. So first up is Pearl Jam brings out Soundgarden and Mudhoney. Toto finally released a studio version of their cover of Weezer's Hashpipe, Switchfoot coming out of hiatus to drop a new single, and Striper bassist Oz Fox collapses on stage. And then following all this up, we have the POD interview, which jealously Mike got to sit and speak to Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer and founder of POD, which stands for Payable on Death. And I haven't heard it yet, but I am totally looking forward to this, so we're all listening to it together. So up first, so Pearl Jam have had a hometown show in Seattle, and second night of it, they invited two members of Mudhoney, frontman Mark Arm and guitarist Steve Turner, and Soundgarden guitarist Kim Fail. They joined in and sat for three songs and paid tribute to their punk roots. They did MC5's Kick Out the Jams and some Iggy and the Stooges, and I believe they also did a bit of a tribute to Chris Cornell. So it's crazy to see that Pearl Jam's still going. They're keeping that grunge alive. Thank you very much, veteran company. I would have loved to see that show. I've never seen Pearl Jam live. Have you?
No, I have not, but I'm pretty sure they're going to come around in Houston or something like that, because they're just embarking like on a nationwide tour.
Yeah, they've got a new album in the works. They've released a single, I think it was in March. I listened to it a bit. It's Pearl Jam, they've always been sort of protesty. So Pearl Jam's always sort of more of a liberal slant, and I'll just keep it there, because look, I enjoy the music. I don't really care so much about their political views, but still such a fantastic band. But yeah, I'd love to see them live. I think Vedder came here in Australia a couple years ago on his Ukulele Songs tour, and I didn't get to catch him. It would have been great to see him. Apparently the reviews of that concert were out of this world. People were loving it. It was a really sort of close-knit type venue. Very intimate and personal, and Vedder just really shined through there. So one day, you know, I will see them, and it will be a great day. So up next, now you leaked this story to me, Mike, about Toto
yes.
covering Weezer's Hashpipe. And I had to listen to it. It's definitely Toto singing Weezer. I mean, there's nothing more to say about it. It's a good cover. I think that maybe Weezer did a little bit better on Toto stuff, but that's just me. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, most definitely. Weezer definitely has the upper hand. Rosanna was okay. Africa was amazing. And then Hashpipe is... The dude from Toto kind of sounds whiny when he's singing this. And obviously the Weezer version's a whole lot better. But I like it's cool how they're going back and forth covering each other's songs. And it'd be cool if Toto did like another song, like maybe like Buddy Holly or something like that. I'd like to see that one, because I would love to hear the guy from Toto saying, "What's up with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they got a front?" I would love to hear him say that.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be epic. And it would be a real shame if they don't go on a tour together, because this is a great build up to that.
Well, absolutely. And look, if they don't put out an EP, a split EP, like I'd love to hear them cover the Sweater Song or Say It Ain't So, like anything off the Blue album, which I think is by far Weezer's best album.
My name is Jonas.
That entire album. Actually, I really liked that one, and I liked Maladroit. If you have a chance to listen to Weezer's Maladroit, do it. There's some gems there as well. If you want to check that out, look, it's on all of your digital streaming platforms. I'm sure there's probably a YouTube video, but check it out and see what you think. Speaking of new music, so Switchfoot, we've talked about this famously, they have gone on hiatus as of what, beginning of this year, and we were all sad face until
this
has come out. So Switchfoot have dropped a new single called You Found Me. Now this is not for a new album, unfortunately, but it's new music from the guys, so I'm not complaining. It's actually going to be attached to a movie that's coming out which is, what is the name of that movie?
I think it's called Unbroken.
Yes, Unbroken, that's right. It's the sequel to Unbroken. And I've never seen the first Unbroken, so I guess I need to catch up with the times. But yeah, Switchfoot's got a new single out, and it's fantastic. And it can also be found on all of your streaming platforms. Mike, have you heard it?
No, I have not. But I can tell you this. I don't want to be the rainy cloud in your parade. But I'm thinking possibly this is just a song they had in their pocket. Because, you know, bands, they write and record, like, you know, 16, 20 songs, but they only put about 12, 13 on an album. And they have just like one of the ones that they're like, man, this never made an album. You know, we should put it out there somehow.
Negative. I actually read about this, and apparently the dudes have, like the guy in the film from Unbroken is actually one of their personal heroes. So,
really?
Yeah, so John Foreman, who's the lead songwriter, he reads a lot of stuff. He is definitely a well-read singer-songwriter, and this is one of his heroes, and so he actually penned this. They came to Switchfoot and said, hey, we're doing this movie. We're trying to put together this soundtrack. Would you guys do this song? Would you do a song for us? And yeah, so they were all on board.
Nice.
Now, speaking of Switchfoot, I don't know what's going to come of this, but I have been seeing some things on Facebook recently from the Switchfoot page with just John and his brother Tim, and it's just called the Foreman Brothers. Now I'm wondering, are we going to see a side project from just those two guys? It'd be interesting.
Haven't they done one before?
No, see, John's done his own. John has done his own solo stuff. Which, if you haven't checked it out, it's fantastic. John's also done, he did a side project called Fiction Family with one of the dudes from Nickel Creek, Sean Watkins. And they've got two albums out, which are very, very good. Check those out. Those are great albums. But they've never really done anything just with those guys that I'm aware of. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. So watch this space, because if it's announced, we're going to tell you about it.
Yeah, right on.
Now we're going to move to a little bit of more sad news. Man, so we don't really know what's going on, but Oz Fox, who is part of the Christian metal outfit Striper, has apparently suffered a seizure on stage over the weekend. Now, the band said he went in and underwent medical tests after the emergency and was warned to not drive or fly for 90 days. It says that the group will complete its upcoming Australian tour as a trio. So we were talking about them coming to Australia. Apparently Oz Fox is not coming with them. Now, it was mentioned in another interview, and I'm not seeing this on this one here. Hang on, here we go. This is the official statement. Our dear friend and lead guitarist Oz Fox fell ill Saturday night while performing in Las Vegas with a side project that he sometimes plays in when not touring with Striper. Oz suffered a seizure causing a fall on stage. After performing an MRI, doctors discovered an area of concern near his brain, which they're now running a biopsy on. The doctors have instructed him not to drive or fly for 90 days. No additional information is available at this time. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers, and we will continue to communicate additional information as it becomes available. Oh. So, yeah, tough stuff, man. And, you know, we should probably also mention, even though she's not part of the Gen X, but Aretha Franklin is apparently surrounded by close family and friends, as it looks like she's going to be taking her final breaths in this life. So, lots of music news. You know, there's lots of sad music news. We've lost so many legends, you know, the Cornells and the Chester, and, you know, it looks like, you know, and the Tom Petty's, and then, you know, Aretha Franklin, who is undoubtedly the queen of soul. Yeah, it's just incredible. What's your thoughts on that, dude?
Yeah, it's happening everywhere, and my Mike's mind tonight is about losing legends, and it's hard. I mean, obviously people grow old and lose their health, and eventually everyone dies.
Yeah,
it's a fact of life. But to see celebrities that you grew up with starting to slowly die off, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, it just becomes almost surreal. You're like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, when I was 12 and this memory and that memory. It's just, it's surreal.
Absolutely. It's very sad that it does happen. Like you said, there is a fact of life, and we have to sort of just move on, don't we? Move on. So we're going to try to finish this Gen X radio segment on a high with the POD interview. Mike, why don't you go ahead and introduce this?
Yeah, this was a total mark out moment for me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I was straight schoolgirl here with the knee socks, with the bow in the hair, sweaty palms, and everything. Like, I was asking Sonny Sandoval to the prom. So here we go.
And we have the amazing opportunity to talk to the lead vocalist of Payable on Death, POD, Sonny Sandoval. Sonny, how's it going?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, man, you know it.
So you guys have been doing it for a while, way back since 1992, sold over 12 million records worldwide. Man, is it still as fun as it was back then?
Yeah, man. We've kind of shifted our mindset and our, you know, and our hearts towards this industry, and, you know, reminded ourselves that it's about the people that still listen to our music and that care about what we do. And so, you know, we've been able to push it for 26 years now.
That is amazing. Now, when you guys first started out, you were offered a recording contract from Essential Records, and you got a great quote here. You told your longtime manager, Tim Cook, "Don't take the offer because God has a bigger plan for POD." How scary was that?
Man, you were digging deep in the crates, huh? The only reason why we started this band, man, we always felt like, you know, we had something to say. We had a different approach on the things that, you know, of our faith and the things that we believed in. And, you know, we had the ear to the streets, and we weren't doing things in traditional ways. You know what I mean? We were open about our faith, and people knew what we stood for and what we believed in, but we were too Christian for that community and, or excuse me, for the world, but never good enough for that inner religious circle, you know?
Hmm.
So it was like, man, we just need to go to whoever will listen to our music and appreciate what it is. And so we just believed that there was a bigger plan for it.
Right on, man. And I mean, let's talk about the songs. What is still your favorite song to play live?
I mean, obviously that, you know, the hits that people know, you can go, we were just saying this the other day. It's like, man, we can go around the world, you know, we can play, we're playing these festivals, you know, with a lot of the newer bands that are coming up, and, you know, we'll play our whole set and people are singing along our whole set, you know, and that new band they'll play their set, and then everybody really just knows that one song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But so obviously the hits and people are singing our songs like Alive and Euthanation and Boom gets people going, you know, and the songs that have been fortunate to make radio, you know, those are the best. I mean, they come over well, but, you know, we still have the South sounds of the world that we play, you know, the Murdered Love that always go over well live.
Yeah, and speaking of Youth of the Nation, you know, that song was influenced partly by some school shootings at Santana High School, Columbine, and Granite Hills, and we still see that happening today. How important do you think the message is of that song? It still rings true today.
It still rings true more so than ever. It's kind of, you know, you ask yourself, what have we done? Where are we going? What's happened since, you know, 2000 when we wrote the song, you know, but it's, I mean, for us, it's more about the kids and the stuff that they're going through. You know, I believe that there is spiritual warfare, and it's headed straight towards our families, you know, and our kids, and it messes with their minds. And nowadays with just so much access to all the garbage of the world and just, you know, there's no standards of anything, and everybody's telling our kids, man, do this, do that. It's all good. We, you know, media and Hollywood glorifies the evil things of this world, you know, and our kids are just kind of just sitting ducks, you know. So it really is our job as parents and as, to raise decent human beings, you know, to love one another, take care of each other, and offer them that hope that they're going to make it through this troubled world.
Right. We're talking to Sonny from POD. He's going to be live here in Lake Charles. And I just got the news, Sonny. This is great because it just got moved indoors. So you're going to be able to perform in the AC.
Oh, nice, man. Is it because of weather?
Oh, yeah. It's because, man, we've been having heat indexes of like 105, 109 down here. It's been nuts.
Well, see, we're traveling everywhere. So some shows are being rescheduled because of thunderstorms and lightning storms. You know, we came from another city where we had a full-on lightning fireworks show in the sky for the other night, you know. So the weather's crazy right now.
Yeah, we have those like every other day here, too. The weather over here is absolutely nuts. So you're going to be safe inside,
awesome,
rocking out. Now, let's talk about in 2008, you formed with some other people the Whosoevers, which is an outreach group. Can you talk to us a little bit about the Whosoevers?
Yeah, man. I took some time away from music for a little bit just to kind of get myself together, you know, kind of refocus a little bit. And I was lucky to come alongside some awesome guys and gals that thought the same way I did, you know, and had the heart like I did. And, you know, my longtime buddy Brian Head Welch was there, and Lacey from Flyleaf, Ryan Reese, you know, my other brother, and we just didn't speak the language of most organized religions, you know what I mean, and most Christianity groups, and it was more like just being honest and open and real with each other, and that allowed us to go into you know, schools and churches and boys and girls homes, rehabs, and just kind of share our story. And it was almost therapeutical just to be able to say, hey man, we're a bunch of messed up individuals, but luckily there's a God that loves us, you know, and accepts us just the way we are. And then it just opened opportunities to be able to speak to young people, and that kind of formed, you know, throwing concerts and outreaches to inner city youth. And now we're in a lot of public schools in Southern California. And it's a great thing for us to come together and have the same heart and same mindset.
Right on. And not only are you a trendsetter in the music industry, this is amazing. So on MTV Cribs, you explained that your daughter's name, Nieva, was heaven spelled backwards. And then all of a sudden that name blew up.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Whenever I hear someone scream across the park or the, you know, outside, hey, Nieva, and then I'll look, and it's always a younger girl that's younger than my daughter, you know what I mean? And then they'll tell me, oh, dude, I saw that episode. And it really just took off at one point. It was just kind of, it got real trendy and became like the top three or four, you know, names in the world. So that's a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful story for both of us.
That's awesome. Now, I saw this dope video on YouTube. It's you performing, or the band performing, and you're accompanied by Leroy Hemp from War of Ages, and you're performing Southtown. If anybody hasn't seen that video on YouTube, it gives me chills just thinking about it, Sonny. Is there a chance that we could see a studio version of Southtown featuring Leroy Hemp?
Oh, man, that's a good idea. I know. I think it was The Ghost Inside that actually covered Southtown on the album, but that might be a good idea, man. We'll have to think about that.
Yes.
He's a good friend, and we love their band.
That would be amazing. We're talking with Sonny from POD. Now, before we let you go, Sonny, I have to ask you this. So you've toured all over the world. You've tried every cuisine in the world. What's your go-to when you come here to Louisiana?
Ooh. Well, I think one of the best things, this was a while ago. I'm not sure exactly. I can't remember exactly what city, but they had like the what we call them, crawdads in San Diego.
Right.
What do you guys call them?
Crawfish. Or mud bugs.
Crawdads. Yeah, crawfish. And one time a couple times we played this festival, and they just had, it was endless. And they would just dump the crawfish right there. They would drown them in the beer and then cook them up. And, dude, that's, if I can get some of that, man, I'm definitely there.
Let me ask you this. Did you eat it with or without the vein?
I was just told to rip the head off, suck out the juice, and then eat the rest. That's what I was told.
Right on, a warrior. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care about no poop vein. Hey, I tell you what, I'm also...
Tell me about that.
Well, it's probably best that you don't know. But, hey, I'm also a big WWE fan as well. And I tell you what, I popped so hard when I heard you guys doing Rey Mysterio's theme song, Booyaka 619. How did that How did that come to fruition?
We went to school with Rey. He was a year or two younger than us. Yeah. And so we were growing up doing our thing. And then, you know, he was down in Mexico doing his thing. And then, you know, as luck would have it, just being from San Diego, we would team up later again and collaborate together. And we still see Rey all the time. During the holidays, we did a Christmas gift, and we did a whole signing thing where people came out and donated gifts, and we can take down presents to Mexico. And then when I was off on this last break, he invited me to come to a little local school that was having some problems, and we got to talk to, you know, the elementary school and share our story. And so he's active in the community as I am, and he's a good dude, man.
Awesome. Well, Sonny, one last question. Now, I read this a long time ago, so I'm paraphrasing, but I've always wanted to know if this is true. When you first got into POD, you were performing like with your back to the crowd, because, like, I guess you were kind of shy.
Yeah, I'm still shy, man. I'm not the life of the party, or I'm not the one that's seeking all the attention. You know, that was, again, you know, when the guys asked me to join the band back in 92, it was more not that I had the skill set or that I wanted to be in front of a crowd. It was just like, man, I feel like I want to say something, you know, but it was something for me. It was a hurdle for me to get over. You know, I still feel that way. You know, go ask me to speak in front of a class or something, I still get nervous and my voice cracks. And
wow.
I've stood in front of millions of people, and it's still the same. The butterflies are the same. But, I think that day, I think I might even have some of the lyrics written on a paper and sitting down by the drum kit, you know? and I had my back to the crowd, and my cousin, the drummer, I just remember him, you know, yelling at me, telling me to turn around and face the crowd.
That's an amazing story. Sonny, thank you so much for your time, man.
You know it, man. Thanks for having me, brother.
Back here on the Edge. Man, it's so good to hear from Sonny and POD. I'm so glad that they're around. I'm going to play actually a song from those guys during our retro replay, which we're going to get to now. So up first, we've got I'll Stick Around by Dave and the Foo Fighters. Then we've got Daniel Johns and Silverchair with Tomorrow. And then we've got the aforementioned Sonny Sandoval and POD with Truly Amazing. This was off of the Passion of the Christ soundtrack. So guys, thanks so much for sticking around. When we come back, Mike's got something on his mind, and he'll share it with us then. Thanks for listening to The Edge on Hope FM 103.9. We'll be right back.
Yeah.